And welcome back to EAA Radio. I am Wireless Mike, and today we are joined by Craig Fuller. And Craig is the president of the AOPA, and thank you for joining us today.
It's my pleasure. I'm glad to be with you.
Now, there's a lot of things that the AOPA does, and just a couple overview things of what is the AOPA and what do you guys do?
Sure. Well, you know, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association, AOPA, was formed in 1939 by a group of people who were concerned that perhaps general aviation would go away with the advent of war. They wanted to make sure that they could use their planes, that the regulations weren't going to be too onerous, we'd have airports that were open. In many ways, the mission is the same 71 years later. And we're working to make sure that our 412,000 members can fly without undue regulation, undue cost, and it can enjoy this this freedom to fly that really is quite unique in this country.
Okay, and there's a lot of issues that are going on right now. One of them is funding for the FAA. We've all heard about user fees. And where do things stand right now with the current reauthorization of the FAA?
At this moment, it looks like the Congress is going to provide the FAA with another extension of their funding. We've been working for the last few years, actually, to get a reauthorization of the FAA's budget secured and in place. Now, this is not completely unusual in government. There are other agencies that go through this. We were hopeful that the House and Senate would agree on a reauthorization bill for the FAA, but it looks like it's going to be continued a little bit further down the road, and we'll get back at it later this year. It doesn't mean the FAA does not have money. That's the reason they have a continuing resolution. That's the reason they push it back a ways. But we would like to see the certainty that comes with reauthorization. Ironically, the issues that are keeping this or preventing this from happening are not so much aviation issues as some labor issues that are caught up in the bill.
What kind of labor issues are...
It relates to the ability to organize, unions to organize with some of our freight carriers and that sort of thing.
Okay. And other issues that are currently a hot topic is avgas. And what are we going to do? They're trying to get 100 low lead replaced, but yet we don't have a replacement fuel for avgas. But yet most of these airplanes that are out and have been produced for the past 50-plus years, that's what they run on. What is AOPA doing in order to try to help with that?
Well, I'd certainly want to assure your listeners and our members and anybody who flies that the aircraft today that need 100 low lead are going to have 100 low lead for well into the foreseeable future. It's not going to go away. The policy of the U.S. is to take and remove lead from fuels.
Which is good overall.
And from an environmental standpoint, there's no argument it is good. It is our nation's policy. The Environmental Protection Agency recognized well over 20 years ago that aircraft engines were unique. And that's why over 20 years, some 200 different formulations of fuel have been explored. Almost 50 fuels have actually been tested, fully tested in engines, but none of them have been found to work as well as those that use the low lead fuel. Still, we do have to step up to this issue, and we have been working very hard with EAA, with NATA, GAMA, the manufacturing group, NBAA, really all of the general aviation associations to make sure there's a process in place to determine what fuel will work for all of us in general aviation. As you say, those who have aircraft that exist today, those that will buy aircraft in the future. I'm pleased to own a 2003 A36 Bonanza. That's going to require, with a high-performance engine, that requires 100 low lead. But I think there are some good candidates out there, some good in terms of fuels. There's companies that are working on this very, very hard, very aggressively. It's important that while the EAA has a role in this, the FAA really is the lead agency when it comes to aviation safety and in determining ultimately what can be used safely in our aircraft and our engines. And Randy Babbitt has been here at the last couple of days talking about this issue. He was some of us met with him privately yesterday and talked about the issue. The FAA is really stepping in to a leadership position here to make sure the process is one which, as I say, leads to a solution that works for all of us in the aviation.
Right, where we don't ban the current thing we have before we have a replacement that is actually a suitable replacement.
That's essential, and that's a commitment that the FAA administrator made to all of us, both at this lunch meeting yesterday as well as in a larger gathering here today at Oshkosh.
Now, there's been a little bit of a movement with more diesel engines in light aircraft. Does that help with this fuel issue for those people who do have the diesels?
You know, I was earlier this year over at the Friedrichshafen in Germany, at Euro, big air show with general aviation aircraft. We saw quite a few diesel engine aircraft, diesel engine manufacturers that want to put their engines in aircraft. I think it's a very viable option for some people. And it's something that we certainly want to learn more about. It has the advantage of being able to use Jet A, which is going to be available with jet aircraft, certainly. So those kinds of alternatives are one that we should look to as well. Of course, changing out an engine just to be able to burn
right.
a particular kind of fuel is an expensive
Situation. But it is an option for new aircraft manufacturers moving forward as a way to resolve this issue. Moving forward, it doesn't address the past of everybody who is still, you can't buy a $30,000 engine, to put on your,
$1,000 airplane. Right.
It's just not a practical solution. So, okay, and also I've heard that with some light business aircraft, the AOPA is doing something with the NBAA. What is the NBAA, and what are you guys doing together?
Sure. NBA stands for the National Business Aircraft Association, Aviation Association, NBA. They represent organizations, companies that use aircraft in conducting their business. The NBAA has been a great partner. We work closely with them on a lot of legislative issues in Washington. And we put our heads together and we thought, why not jointly sponsor a conference, a light business aircraft conference, at our show in November, our AOPA summit, and at their NBAA show, which will be in Atlanta a little bit later this year, so that we are able to reach their members and our members at both of these shows. There's a lot of interest by people who are using aircraft in business. They want to know how to do it properly. They want to know how to deal with tax issues. They want to know about how to schedule aircraft and that sort of thing. And so we're going to bring together some good technical expertise in both Atlanta with NBAA and then in Long Beach with the AOPA summit. And I'm really pleased we're doing it because the two organizations work well together. We work on a lot of public policy issues, and now we're kind of putting our heads together to think about how we can run a conference together, and we'll see what comes of it.
Yeah, there's a lot of overlap between you two, and it makes sense that you can try and bring some focus to your members of how they can better do things with input from the NBAA, and it also gives you some exposure to the NBAA people at their conference.
Indeed it does. And, I've been fortunate. My first aircraft I purchased in 1979, and I've always been able to use the aircraft that I owned on business, at least part of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes a big difference for people, and I really think I think our members will benefit, and I hope, as you point out, there'll be some NBA members who might like to see what they get exposed to at our AOPA meeting in Long Beach.
And when were those meetings again?
The Aviation Summit for AOPA is the second week of November, and about 3 weeks prior to that, about a month prior to that, NBAA has their show in Atlanta, both at NBAA. .com, I think, and AOPA.org. You can find more information on both shows.
Okay. And the other thing that I had some questions about, more specifically, a friend of mine had some pointed questions at, and he thought that you might know the answers are, is the FAA is doing a re-registration and renewal of aircraft registrations. And when does that get implemented, and what do you know about that?
This process has been going on for a while to determine how best to make sure that the information the FAA has on our aircraft is current and up to date. There are lots of reasons for that. To be honest with you, some of them are security related. It's important to know who owns an aircraft that are out there today. And they've embarked on this process some time ago. We've been working with them throughout this process. We wanted to make sure it was not too onerous, it was not too costly. We think that the system they have, is an online system, is going to work pretty effectively. We have more information about it on our website. We'll be facilitating and helping anybody who's interested in learning more or has any trouble with it. Our pilot information center at AOPA is taking calls on it. They're talking to quite a few of our members and explaining it. It shouldn't take much time. It shouldn't be too difficult. It really is designed to make sure that the records are complete and up to date.
Okay, now my friend's specific question on that is, he's got a few project airplanes, and they're long-term project airplanes. And, you know, obviously when you have two or three projects, you're not going to get them all done at once. So what happens if his registration lapses while he's working on these project airplanes? Does he lose his airworthiness certificate at that point? And what would you have to do once it does lapse? Do you have a non-functioning airplane now that you can never use again?
You know, it's a perfect example of the kind of question that we ought to let our technical people answer. At the Pilot Information Center, either through the website, you can email them, go to our website, get the information and call them. You know, let us know if you're having that kind of a problem, because it clearly is not the intent for people to lose their airworthiness certificate. This
right.
is not meant to be an onerous process. If there's any of those kinds of questions that your listeners have, or your friend has, you can drop me a note, craig@aopa.org, and I'll make sure our people will get a response back to them.
But you don't think that there's going to be any serious problems with those kind of issues, project planes and stuff like that?
I really do not believe. I know that's not the intention, and I can't believe it would be a problem. And if, you know, every once in a while, there's an unintended consequence. There's a value and a benefit to making sure we have the right information, the FAA has the right information. But every once in a while, there's an unintended consequence. And if that's the case, let us know. We have found that the FAA is responsive to us when we identify these problems, especially if it's something that's affecting a number of people. So, again, if it's a problem, drop me a line, craig@aopa.org. Or contact our pilot information center.
And that's the added benefit of being part of the AOPA, is that you do have a large organization like that. So if you do have unintended consequences in the legislation, there's a great body of people at the AOPA who can address those issues.
Well, I appreciate that. One of the things that also works for our members, I think, is that by calling us and letting us know of a particular issue that maybe we didn't envision or the government didn't envision, we can go to the agency that's involved and make sure they're going to address that problem. Sometimes issues involve, I've heard, for example, that someone will have a problem with a controller in a certain area. I fly close to 400 hours a year now. I'm in the system all the time. I believe we get terrific service from our air traffic controllers. But sometimes there's a training issue. And if we hear about it, we can identify it. We can take care of it. So I always say to people in my pilot town hall meetings, don't hesitate to call. We're there for you. We've got the people that come close to dealing with a couple hundred thousand calls and emails a year. So they like to dive in and solve problems.
Well, excellent. We do appreciate you coming in and spending some time and answering some questions. And if people here on the grounds have more questions, where can they find the AOPA tent and come and ask somebody some of those questions?
You know, my best description, because I race around here all the time, is that the AOPA tent here and elsewhere, but certainly here, is big, bright, and yellow, and we're not too far from the entrance, but you look for the big yellow AOPA tent. We've got people there that talk about our member benefits and programs, insurance to credit cards, all sorts of different offerings we have. We're also having kind of fun. We've got a program going that asks people to sign up and engage in some way in support of general aviation. Maybe make a contribution, that's fine, but that's not, take somebody flying, talk to somebody about flying. And if you engage and you get in our system, I think we give you a free hat.
I got mine earlier yesterday. So it's a nice looking hat, too.
Good.
And now if somebody is unfortunate enough not to be here this week and they can't come out at Oshkosh, do you have a website that they can go to get this information and to become a member?
Sure. Don't hesitate to stop it. Look us up at www.aopa.org. AOPA.org. We have all information there necessary to become a member. And we have a lot of information there about flying, even if you're not a member, that you can take a look at and learn more about flying.
All right. Well, once again, you've been listening to EAA Radio, and we've been talking with Craig Fuller with the AOPA, and I believe his title was President.
That's correct. Thanks so much. Glad to be with you.
Thank you.